Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As only Kevin Harlan can on TNT, Nuggets move on, Lakers go home. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And there was a lot that went right for the Lakers, surprisingly, in this series. They led for most of the series. They led in games for 70% of this series, but ultimately could not find a way to close the Nuggets out. And again, the season ends in disappointment for LeBron James, Perloff. And the big question now is, does he stay or does he go?
I think he stays, and I think one of the reasons they lost is because we're seeing an all-time team in Denver. I think you can say all the negative things you want about Darvin Ham, the coach of the Lakers, about D'Angelo Russell, I certainly would buy that, about Anthony Davis not being able to stay healthy. Is it possible they just sort of ran into an 80s Celtics or an 80s Lakers kind of team? This could be a really, really good team. So to me, I look at this Lakers team, I'm like, wow, they're really close. Unfortunately, Denver is just superior to every team in the NBA right now.
Okay, but then here's what you would say, right? You got health, almost unprecedented health from Anthony Davis this year. Now, he did get banged up last night with his shoulder and a neck injury coming out of the second half, and that definitely limited him. But you had a healthy AD. You had a healthy LeBron. You had the role players that you want. There was no scapegoat here, right. No Russell Westbrook or any of that stuff that you could blame it on. And you got beat. And
right.
I think that they'll look at the coach, and I think that if LeBron is going to stay, he's going to want a lot of changes around him. He's going to say, listen, if I have Anthony Davis and myself, we should not be, you know, so close but so far, I guess, as the cliche goes. Like, we should be able to win these closer games. And I think they're going to blame it on Darvin Ham. They're going to blame it on his rotations, and he might deserve the blame. I'm okay with that. And try to get a better coach in there. Ultimately, does it get him closer? I don't know.
I don't think so. And the reason is they can't redo the roster. There's maybe they add an older guy like DeRozan, DeMar DeRozan, or maybe they get a center like Valanciunas or Kelly Olynyk, whatever. They're going to have to build around the margins with this team, the way it's set up. So there's no cavalry coming in personnel-wise. There's no coach who's going to make this Lakers squad better than the Nuggets. And the truth is, LeBron is not going to get better as he gets older. It's gonna go downhill even more.
Listen, he was good last night. He really was. I mean, he's even good in the fourth quarter at high altitude. I mean, the dude, he's not the problem. I think he's
the problem is the Nuggets are just superior to every team in the NBA, and the same thing's gonna happen to him next year. He can leave all he wants. How are they gonna handle Jokic and Murray and Gordon and all these guys?
Be that as it may, Perloff, do you think that the Nuggets and their next opponent, the Minnesota Timberwolves, do you think that's gonna be 4-1? Because I don't. I think that's going to be a much longer series. Like, I think that's not going to be, this is going to be a more knockdown, drag them out than what the Lakers were able to provide.
So last year, the Nuggets had one series that went six games, the Suns.
Yep.
Just because I think Devin Booker was on an outrageous heater. Otherwise, they really didn't go past five games with anybody. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the T-Wolves are better than I thought. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Nuggets did this in five or six.
Again, but if it goes to six or seven between the Timberwolves, that makes L.A. look even worse. And especially if the T-Wolves are able to win games in Denver, that's going to make the Lakers look even worse. And so here's why I think LeBron is going to leave is because he's basically always left.
But he hasn't left L.A.
Not yet, but that only takes like a snap of the fingers. And he's got to make a decision on his player option by the end of June. Then obviously the Olympics is going to happen. And then, you know, back into the NBA schedule. But I wouldn't be surprised if he opts out of that player option, goes to the Olympics, where we know famously guys start teaming up at the Olympics. Now, the game's gotten so much more international that the players he might want to play with are probably playing for different countries right now, like Luka Doncic and stuff like that. But I wonder if he goes as basically a free agent to Paris for the Olympics and is totally keeping his options open. And I think he leaves. I think that he's been navigating this and thinking about it. And I know his life is in LA, but how much longer is he playing basketball? Another 2-3 years? His family is probably to make tons of sacrifices for his NBA career. They'll make another one.
All right. I'm sensing a show bet because I strongly disagree. I think that he stays in LA. I mean, you can't run a movie industry from Dallas, Maddie.
Sure you can.
I don't know. I think you want to be in LA. He's got to take meetings for Spring Hill. He's got to do his shows.
I love how he's you think he's in son. These meetings, like from the pitch.
Oh, yeah. LeBron. You don't think LeBron has a heavy hand in his entertainment wing? He definitely does.
I think they bring him in at the end when they're like, hey, LeBron, we're picking between this and this. And then maybe he comes in. Maybe. And that's maybe being a little too generous. I think
LeBron James's interests have widened in recent years tremendously. But honestly, the dude's spending more time thinking about wine than basketball right now.
Listen, the main thing, still the main thing, though, is...
Which, you mean wine?
Which is basketball.
You mean Pinot's from Napa?
You know, I think you got to give him a little bit more credit here that...
You can't possibly say the main thing is the main thing in the way it was in 2010. There's just no way LeBron's life... Reality happens, Maggie. You're a parent.
I know.
You know, he's got... The main thing is the main thing. He is at every basketball game with his kids. There's so much going on in that dude's life.
Okay, and still, I'm watching him in the fourth quarter be awesome last night.
No, he's still a great player.
He doesn't
cheat
the game. He really does. I know it's cliche LeBron stuff, and I know people are sick of him, but... I also think that if he left to go to a different team, I don't think he gets the Kevin Durant bus rider stuff. Maybe people think like, oh, that's kind of sad. LeBron had to go to a different team. But I think he would look at it and say, I'm trying to maximize every moment I have of my career because the end is near.
Well, he better be a bus rider because if he's still the bus driver on a team, like they're going out in the first or second round. The NBA West is getting harder and harder.
That's like, true.
Honestly, he can't be the 1A on a team anymore. It's just not going to win a title. There's too much talent out there.
Let's hear from, can we hear from Darvin Ham? So again, this is going to be one of the big questions is facing the Lakers. As much as you think a head coach could really help LeBron at this point, Darvin Ham was asked how the team can improve. Excuse me, Darvin Ham, do we have the cut where he talks about the rotations? Yeah, let's hear that.
What would you point your finger to moving forward that this group needs to get to where it wants to be?
Stay healthy. Stay healthy. You take a lot of flack for your rotations and all of that, but rotations are secondary. The primary is health.
Who, like Gabe Vincent? I mean, I think that's what he's talking about. Again, you got over 70 games this year from LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They were healthy in the playoffs as much as Davis is healthy. I know last night he got banged up, but health, I don't know if I can buy that this time around.
Well, a little bit. I mean, Vanderbilt was hurt. What happened to that guy?
Well, he came back last night. He was back? Technically active and didn't play.
I mean, they were having to play a lot of my guy, Torian Prince, which is surprising to me. I'm not quite sure that there is something to that. I just don't see an answer here, Maggie. I don't think he's winning in L.A. I don't think he's winning anywhere else.
I mean, can we back of the envelope for a second the head coaches that would be available and that could actually coach the Lakers? Let's put a pin on that for a second as we welcome in one of our good pals, Carl Dukes, 92.9 The Game, just crushing it in Atlanta. Carl, the voice of Atlanta sports, thank you so much for getting up early for us. How you doing?
I'm great, Maggie and Perloff. You guys are burying LeBron already?
I think he's leaving. I think he's going
already.
To Dallas.
Carl, you know, we all age as ball players. Let's face reality here. He's buried. It's over. He's not winning another title. He's not coming to Atlanta and bringing a dream team with him.
No, although people hope that they draft Bronny and he comes. But no, listen, I just heard your conversation, and yeah, it's over. It's over. It's over. So... Yeah.
Carl, you can go vote on our poll if you're into that kind of thing. Will LeBron James leave LA? You can find that at Maggie and Pearl. Well, listen, Carl, I'm going to be honest. The moment that the Falcons announced, or the commissioner announced, that the Falcons were taking Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick, you were the first person who we thought of. Like, wow, what would Carl have to say about this? I'd love to hear not only your reaction, but also the fans in Atlanta, and how did they receive the news?
Well, let's start, Maggie and Perloff, first with the fans. They're still PO'd. I think a lot of people have yet to accept what this is, what this could be, or what it's going to be. And yes, it was a surprise simply because it was so far out there in left field from what the norm is, right? Especially when you have additional needs to add to your team. So I just think for most people, you know, the average football fan says, oh, what do they need? Oh, they need an edge rusher. They need, you know, more secondary help. And you immediately think that that's what they're going to do. I think if anything, guys, you know this, the draft proves to us it's the best reality TV show. It never goes the way you expect. And because of that, when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr., everybody freaked out because they said, wait a minute, what's this mean for Kirk Cousins? It doesn't mean anything. My thing about this whole ordeal is the Falcons have been in quarterback purgatory for the last few years, and their general manager, Terry Fontenot, does not want that to happen again. They will not be in that situation again. And I think the bigger thing about this whole pick is that the owner signed off on it. Arthur Blank wanted this as much as anybody on the staff. I'm not telling you this was his pick, but he knew and he was aware and he was for it if it was going to happen and if he was there to be picked at 8. So they have a succession plan. Kirk Cousins is the now. He could be the next 2 years. And if they win, great. But they don't have to worry about going to get another guy and hoping that they are high enough in the draft to potentially draft a guy that they love, and they absolutely do it in Michael Penix Jr.
Carl, so there were bits and pieces that they were looking at Penix, or at least that they had met with him. How come Kirk Cousins was so blindsided when other people had speculated that Falcons might make this move? Kirk Cousins' agent never got wind of this? They had met with him in Seattle and there was interest there?
Perloff, I think more than anything, it's real time, right? I mean, as the draft plays out, they told Kirk, there's a chance we may get a quarterback. Well, hell, he's thinking, what, third, fourth, fifth round? Okay, fine, whatever. I don't think he believed they would do it in the first round, which is why we're talking about this, right? Which is why there's this added pressure now that the Falcons have gotten this right, and now have you created this controversy in the building, which I don't believe to be true. But with that said, I think Cousins, when they called him literally on the clock to say, hey, this is what we're doing, he reacted just like anybody else. Hell, that'd be like us. And our boss is calling us and saying, hey, by the way, there's a new morning show that's starting tomorrow. And I just want to let you guys know tonight, we just made the decision. Hell, we'd be pissed too. So I think part of that was just the timing of it. But understand, guys, Cousins called Michael Penix. I talked to Penix on Friday. He did not share with me the details, but he said, look, Cousins called me last night. We talked. I'll keep it private. And I thought that was big of Kirk Cousins. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to. He doesn't owe Michael Penix that. We've seen this situation in many other places. So I just think the timing of it, Perloff, was why it played out the way it did.
Carl Dukes is joining us, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, hosts the afternoon show, ratings through the roof, voice of Atlanta sports. It's disingenuous, though, Carl. I mean, if they wanted, they knew going into that night they were taking Penix. They knew he was still going to be on the board at 8. They knew they loved him. This was not like, wow, if things break right for us. They walked into that draft knowing they were taking Michael Penix. You mentioned that they don't want to be in quarterback purgatory anymore, which you can totally understand from the Falcons' point of view. I just wonder, did they pick the right two quarterbacks to ensure that they're not going to be in purgatory? You gave $100 million to Cousins, who's 35 coming off an Achilles, and you just took Michael Penix with a top 10 pick when we might all like Penix. That was not the grade on Penix. I mean, he graded out as a late first round, early second round pick, a guy with an injury history of his own. Did they make the right bet on these two guys?
So let's talk about the grade first. It's interesting, Maggie, that you mentioned this, because I think that's the other part of why people are reacting the way they are. Here's the thing about Michael Penix, and I know this now for a fact. There were at least 5 teams that had Michael Penix as the number 2 guy on their board. 4 teams tried to move to go get him in the first round. The Saints were one of those teams. I know there were at least 4 now after the draft is played out. I think what we thought about Penix and what teams thought about him on their board were 2 different things. So I'm not telling you he's the best or the second best quarterback behind Caleb Williams. I'm just simply telling you, I know for a fact that when I was telling my audience here, hey, they really like Michael Penix, people kept laughing because they weren't hearing it. He was higher rated than a lot of these other quarterbacks on teams' boards, including the Falcons, obviously, which is why they took him. So I think that's one thing. Where we think he is, where teams have them, 2 different things. And then the right two quarterbacks, what they did in essence was go get me the best free agent quarterback available. That was Kirk Cousins. That's the now. Then I'm going to address this again when we draft Michael Penix. Only time will tell, Maggie and Perloff, on the Penix thing. We know this, right? We got to see these guys play. But what you have right now is you have Kirk Cousins. We know he can play, if healthy. And everything that's said, you know, we've talked to and everybody we've talked to says that he's moving in the right direction. Coming off of an Achilles injury, we know how severe that is. But I think in the back of the Falcons' mind, in the front office, Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, they believe they have the now. We got a guy that can play right now and get us where we need to be. And we're going to have the guy sitting there waiting to take this thing over if it plays out perfectly. Now, guys, that's the key, right? If it plays out perfectly. Perloff, you're laughing because you and I both know it rarely does. So maybe Cousins is only here a year or two, guys. Maybe it's one season and Penix is now the guy. We don't know how this is going to play out, but that is hopefully the plan.
What are the expectations? Are fans going to be really disappointed if they don't win the NFC South this year?
Yeah. I mean, it's wide open. Listen, I know the Bucs re-signed, you know, Baker Mayfield, and Mike Evans is a great talent. And I talked to Mike, and listen, they feel like they got a chance to go back to the playoffs. Fans in New Orleans are disappointed in Derek Carr and how he's performed, you know. And so that defense is being rebuilt. You just look around this division and you kind of go, the Falcons have probably the most talented roster right now. They're young. If we could just get a delivery system, maybe we could just, you know, go win this thing. And I think that's kind of their mindset. That's why they were, and you know, their intent to sign Cousins. Now, I also want to mention this. I know a lot of people are caught up on the money. Guys, this is the money for a starting quarterback with his experience in the league. I know it sounds like they paid him $100 million. Well, Derek Carr, you know, the Saints signed him to 35 or whatever it was. This is kind of the going rate to do business. So I just believe, like, when you look at this, this is a three-year deal, Maggie and Perloff. 45, 45, 10. There's no guaranteed money in the fourth year. And in the after the second year, if you wanted to move on, it's not going to crush you in the cap. So this is a two-year deal. That's how you have to look at this.
Two-year deal. On the flip side, 2 years off of Michael Penix's rookie contract, which is, again, you know, short amount of time, short window that teams like to maximize. You can understand a guy sitting for a year, but 2 years, maybe three, you're really eating into Michael Penix being a cheap option for you. Carl Duke's with us, 92.9 The Game. One more for you, Carl, and then we'll let you go. And again, thanks for waking up for us, and we trust you with all things Atlanta and beyond that. If you gave the front office for the Falcons truth serum today, do you think they would undo the Cousins contract now that they have Penix in the building? Do you think they regret secretly going that hard in free agency after Cousins, knowing they could have a 24-year-old quarterback with tons of experience in the building today?
It's a great question. I don't believe so. I think in my conversations with some people in the front office, that the fan base needed to see that they were going to address this quarterback situation in the offseason by going to get the best free agent quarterback. I think you have to just look at this as what is best for us right now. And they did that, you know, months ago, right? And then you get into the draft, you get into your evaluations, and then you say, wow, we really like this kid. Is there a chance? Well, he might be there, he might not be. Well, if he's there, do we take him? And I just think, again, sometimes you make these decisions, and I always talk about this. Like, Maggie and Perloff, I'm worried about the now. I can't worry about, like, 5 years from now. I don't know where we're going to be, right? And so I think that's kind of the approach here. I have to worry about the now. I've got to get my fan base back enthusiastic about the team, and that's through quarterback play. We've got that. I also think we've got to get the fan base excited about the future. Guess what? We've got that. And I think that's kind of the mindset behind where this is. If we were to give them truth serum, I believe that they wouldn't change anything because they feel like they're going to be competitive this year. And we know how hard it is for rookie quarterbacks, guys. Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, CJ Stroud was an anomaly, right? Yeah, that doesn't happen. Guys come in, they struggle, and it takes a minute. So you don't have to worry about that with Cousins. He's going to come in and have this thing humming, and I think that's what they wanted. And then you work on Michael Penix and get him ready.
Carl, all of a sudden Atlanta becomes one of the most interesting teams in the NFL. How about that? Thank you again for your perspective, your expertise. You're plugged in. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Continue to kill it.
Oh, you too. Thanks, Carl. Carl Dukes, 92.9 The Game in the afternoon. Our pal Mike as well, and they just crush. I mean, that's no competition for them. They are the voices of Atlanta sports.
God, this has turned out to be one of the great draft stories. We have to take a break, but I think they did the exact right thing by not telling Kirk Cousins. I'm so positive about that. They had no choice, but it was just smart business. If they had told Cousins, it would have been a nightmare. We could get into that.
We will. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do and even more fallout from the NFL draft. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Still sweeping up some of the crumbs that have fallen out from the NFL draft. Sean Payton asking Bo Nix what's in his backpack.
So in that same article.
Yeah.
Albert Breer.
What's in my backpack that would not get me drafted?
Albert Breer talked about Terry Fontenot was the GM of the Falcons. He was in New Orleans. This is an incredible tidbit to me. He was in New Orleans when the Saints reportedly wanted Patrick Mahomes at 11 and the Chiefs jumped them to 10. So what he said was that a scout from the Broncos, I'm sorry, from the Chiefs, texted the Saints and said, "We got you."
Yeah, a front office dunk.
So meaning that they knew that the Saints wanted Mahomes at 11 and jumped him. So Fontenot could not risk letting Kirk Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, know that they were going to draft Michael Penix. So that means the Raiders could have jumped them to 6 or 7 to get Penix.
So here's my this Mahomes story has been told several times now about, you know, Sean Payton talks about how they were there. They wanted to take Mahomes. They loved him so much. They thought he was incredible. And they tried to keep it a secret. But obviously the Chiefs got wind of it and they traded in front of the Saints and they got Mahomes. If you love this guy so much and you thought the franchise was the future of the franchise was hanging on Patrick Mahomes' right arm, why didn't you trade up to get him?
Dude went to 10. I mean, they thought he was falling to them because they were looking at the quarterback needs.
Then you're not being proactive, so I don't want to hear about them being so sad that they missed out on this when their hopes and dreams were there. If you really think he's that great, then trade up and get him.
Well, they missed it by one pick.
And you lose, sir. You lose. Good day.
Well, right. That's why but on the same breath, you're saying the Falcons reached on Michael Penix.
Well, that's because they already had signed Cousins. Like, again, we might disagree about this till the end of time. You know?
So you're saying if Cousins wasn't there, then it might not have been a reach.
No, like, I think if you had Jacoby Brissett in the building, you sending a message to the fan base, an obvious bridge quarterback, and you're going into this draft needing a QB, and then you take Penix at 8, have a great day. Good job out of you guys. You got your quarterback. He was high on your board. As Carl told us, he was second on the Falcons board behind Caleb Williams. And there's other boards who had him that high. Good for you. But to go top of the market for Cousins and then top of the market again for a quarterback who's not going to see the field for 2 or 3 years, if things go right, I still can't get there.
Get this all clear, though. So I swear you just said like he had a first or second round grade, so 8 seemed like a stretch for Penix.
Well, I'm looking at like, say, big boards, if you will. You know, like if you're going at not positional need, if you're just going at guys like the ranking the talent level in the draft.
Right.
He's 24 on Kuiper's big board. He wasn't 2.
Right.
Jaden Daniels was 2.
Right, right.
Right. So to go 8th does feel like rich. And beyond that, it's just a top 10 quarterback is not generally a backup for 3 years.
Yeah, no, I would just say Kuiper gets his big board wrong all the time. I think do you believe the James Palmer report that the Seahawks, Saints, and Raiders were all trying to trade up for Penix? So that's why I think there was probably a lot more noise around that 8, 9, 10. And I love the article. Like, Terry Fontenot apparently breathed a huge sigh of relief when the 7th pick went in and it wasn't him. So they were thrilled that Penix fell to 8. I think Penix was going 8, 9, 10, 11, right in that realm. So I just think one aspect of the story, I was like, wow, they reached on Michael Penix because he wasn't there in early mock drafts. Like, we know how this works. Mock drafts are wildly inaccurate. Nope. So I think Penix was going right around there, regardless if it was Atlanta, it was somebody right after them.
Well, but to me, again, it was reaching because of how they're playing this quarterback thing in the short term.
I totally understand.
You can
say
like, oh, well, you know, you can't ever overinvest in, you know, $100 million. Carl Dukes just joined us. It's a going rate for a quarterback at the top of the market. He's totally right. But it does prohibit you from spending in other areas. Like, it's never just, oh, we've got the quarterback, we'll pay whatever we need for him, and there's no consequence to this whatsoever. You doubled down so hard on this that you paid Cousins so much that it is going to impact players you want to sign in the future. And you also took Penix so high that it will impact having a player this year who could help you on the field. So you can overinvest in quarterback all you want. Let's not pretend that it doesn't have any consequences. It definitely does.
It definitely does not, because if you get the right quarterback, then that's all that matters. Right. The other thing too is,
and that's the only defense that you guys have in this sense. But it doesn't mean, and like, you might end up being right about it. We have no idea. It doesn't mean the process was flawed.
You know, the funny thing, too, is I do really think, regardless of what you're saying right now, I do think a lot of people don't understand how good Michael Penix is. I think the entire draft media industrial complex missed on Penix. Like, he clearly was awesome.
We watched him in the national championship game. Yeah. I don't know how you could miss on this guy. I mean, he was in our face in prime time every day.
I just think every mock draft early on was way too low on him. People did not understand that Michael Penix was flying up NFL team. They just sort of missed it. It was a same thing happened with Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes, they had no, the media had no idea. All the draft report cards say, oh my God, the Chiefs reached on a guy who couldn't win in college. They just did not know. And I think people don't know about Penix. I think he's going, whenever he gets on the field, 2-3 years from now.
In the year 2030.
I can't believe he even fell to 8. Like, you really think Michael Penix was not better than Drake May? I'm flabbergasted by that evaluation through the years. I just think he had bad knees, but still, he was amazing. And people seem to have forgotten that over the last couple months.
Listen, I'm with you. Penix is awesome. He's awesome. I just think that, and because he's awesome, I wish he was on any other team but the Falcons so that we could actually watch this guy play at some point. Andrew Bogish is here. He's got the latest for us.
Guys, hello again. 5 games is the quickest playoff exit ever for LeBron. That disappointment, plus his possession of a $51 million option, could lead to LeBron changing teams again. So, did he think at all about last night being his final game as a Laker?
I'm not going to answer that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, don't mention it. Bron had 30 points, 9 boards, 11 assists in last night's 108-106 heartbreaker in Denver. Like the previous 4 games in the series, L.A. led at halftime last night. But like Game 2, they lost on a last-second shot from Jamal Murray. This one coming with exactly 3.6 seconds to go. It gave Murray 32 points.
The dream come true. All these fans on your side, and to get it done in this fashion, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what to say. I'm just happy for us.
That was Murray postgame on TNT. The Thunder advancing for the first time since 2016, sweeping the Pelicans in New Orleans 97-89. And the Celtics took a 3-1 lead on the Heat in Miami, not behind Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, but Derek White.
Jaylen spins on Hero, kick to the corner, Horford extra pass. How about a Derek White 3 that finishes the deal? How poetic was that? His 8th 3 of the night. 38 for Derek White.
A career high 38 for White in this 102-88 final. That call from Sean Grandy, said Maxwell, Celtics Radio. Boston does have a Kristaps Porzingis problem. He hurt his right calf in the second quarter of this one. The Suns could have almost as much offseason drama as those Lakers. Maybe there's a coaching change. Maybe there's a breakup of their big three. Stephen A. Smith shouted on TV yesterday that Devin Booker wants to be in New York, which probably means the Knicks, but the Nets do play in the city as well. Booker has 4 years and $221 million left on his contract.
Is that a fit?
I think Booker's kind of a fit everywhere, right?
Well, I don't know. You have Jalen Brunson. They're kind of like 6'3", great scoring guards. I'm not sure.
Booker's bigger than Brunson.
Is that the missing piece for the Knicks?
In theory, he could be a great fit. I mean, Booker's like 6'5", and Brunson's like 6'1", so there's not a issue
Brunson's
with size.
Only 6'1"?
It's
more of... He plays so big.
Booker's going to play off the ball, which has been kind of a weird thing, where this year he kind of played on the ball a lot because they didn't have a point guard, but in New York, he would have a point guard. I think it could be great for him. For the Knicks, I don't know if you have enough would be the question mark. I guess you'd have to hope that the Suns take back Randall in that deal, because you're going to have to match that salary, which is huge.
Yeah, it's, what did you say?
It's 50 mil a year.
50 mil a year. Here's the question. Is he going to be the one who has to go, if anybody has to go, out of Phoenix? Like, Devin Booker is the one who's been there. He's the draft pick. He's the guy, I mean, who's already gotten them to a finals. I know it was a couple of years ago, but why should he be the one who has to go?
Or if
they're going to break this up and they don't, you know, shouldn't Durant be the one who's traded away? Or,
no, but I think Devin Booker desperately wants to get out of there, right?
Does he? I mean, or does he want to reload?
Well, the issue is, one, he's the guy you get the most value for. He's the youngest. Mm-hmm. He's the best. Right. So you're going to get more for him than you would for Durant. Bradley Beal has his no trade clause. So, and I mean, I don't know who's raised their hand saying, I'll take $50 million for Bradley Beal next year. So he's probably the most tradable guy. And one little interesting thing about this, Isaiah Thomas is kind of the GM in the shadows of this Suns team, and we know how much he loves James Dolan. Is there a sweetheart deal that happens potentially if Booker really wants to go there? This is probably the one guy, Mitchell was a guy I think a lot of people thought would be in New York, but this is the one guy that I see it a little bit, but man, if the Knicks get Booker, that would be something else.
Man, and you know, really? Isaiah's going to want to take all the bows for that.
Pay for all of his sins, literally, for what he did to the Knicks organization.
I still don't love the fit. I think they need a front court superstar to pair with Brunson. Then you're talking NBA title. I just feel like you're doing another version of the Suns in a way. I'm not sure I totally like this.
A way more filled out team than the Suns.
Yeah.
But like, what's there? Like, okay, so you have Brunson and Booker as a backcourt. Is Julius Randle in this picture? Like,
OG Anunoby moves to the four, which is what he's been playing.
How big is? Yeah, I don't know.
He's had 14 rebounds against the Sixers.
If you trade Booker, though, away from the Suns, why would you keep Durant? Like, I get you can't move Beal. That might be different but someone might still find some value in Durant. So then you just basically, you cut the whole thing down.
Definitely.
And then you just gave all those picks that you traded to the Nets that you thought were going to be these late round picks. If you're tanking, now those picks become high picks.
It's a Phoenix. It's a Phoenix disaster class.
Oh my gosh!
It's what they want.
Isaiah now doing what? I mean, how many franchises can this guy ruin? I think the owner is probably ruining it a little too.
But. I mean, we're picking apart a corpse here. That team is bad. Who even cares?
Good grief!
Wait, one more thing about the if I give you, I'm going to put you on the Knicks spot. If I give you Devin Booker or Joel Embiid, who do you want?
Indeed. Oh, Booker. Give me a guy who actually can be upright by the time he's in the playoffs.
I should put that up as a poll. Would you rather have Devin Booker than Joel Embiid?
First of all, you're going to lose that one by a landslide.
Yeah, first of all, this is probably the wrong week to ask that question.
Yeah, Joel Embiid's stock couldn't be lower right
I don't think
now.
There's any fan that wants him on the roster, seriously. But I'm just taking that away.
He's got one knee
the second best player in the NBA.
Right, he's dirty, though. There's some personal things, I think, with Knicks fans. Not right now. Not today. I'm saying maybe in a month or two, there are a lot of Knicks fans who saw what happened over the weekend and said, I don't ever want this guy in a Knicks uniform. Well, that's how I feel.
Regardless of the Knicks or the actual details aside, like, what is a championship-winning player in the NBA? Seems like you need a lot of size and you need something special. Like, we're talking about players like Devin Booker and the new super team era, LeBron and their future. Like, how are you going to win a title if you're these guys?
Which
you
is funny
a really
because
special team.
It was only a couple years ago we thought, what's the type of person who can win you a title in the NBA? It's the Devin Booker type. We literally had that conversation. We were talking about
tall wing,
the finals, and talking about them trying to get back to the finals. There's got to be more going on, though, Booker.
There is. EJ, real quick, though. The money works. Randall and DiVincenzo for Booker. You would do that in a second, right?
That's the deal. And you're giving them a lot of draft picks, but that's the deal that probably happens. I'm doing it, no question.
So they get their draft picks back. So the Suns get some, that's not bad.
Now, the problem, though, is that in theory, the Knicks would be a good team. So the first-round picks you're getting back probably won't be all that great, but at least you're getting something back.
What else we got, folks?
College sports leaders reportedly strongly considering a settlement for the antitrust lawsuit they're facing over NIL. Losing in court could cost them $4 billion in damages. This settlement would include the framework for sharing revenues with athletes. The Florida Panthers into round two on ice, closing out the Lightning 6-1 in game five. And the Stars won in Vegas 4-2 to level that series at 2. The home team has not won a game yet. Dudes have hit 10 homers in April before, just not this young.
And that is drilled out to right field towards the flag court. It goes, and it's gone. A leadoff homer for Gunnar Henderson. He clears the wall and right and add another home run to that April tally.
As heard on Orioles radio, Gunnar Henderson doesn't turn 23 until June, so he's the youngest ever with 10 April long balls. He and Baltimore took the first of four from the Yankees to zip. Our White Sox had their three-game win streak snapped by Minnesota 3-2. Those Twins have now won eight in a row, and the U.S. and Mexico have dropped their joint bid for the 2027 Women's World Cup, deciding to focus instead on the 2031 version. Those 2027 event would be a tough sell business-wise here in the States because of the 2026 Men's World Cup and the 28 Summer Games in L.A. So sponsorships, et cetera, might have been tough to come by in the middle of those two already established events. Guys, back to you.
I get that. Man, we got a lot of things coming up here, don't we?
Yeah, those are, two, I mean, obviously World two Cup significant the Olympics, things.
Back to back. Mm-hmm. Anyone going to L.A. for the Olympics?
Not Pete.
I'm going.
I feel like Pete is an Olympic guy.
No.
I really want to go for the World Cup in 2 years.
Well, that's here.
Well, there's going to be multiple spots. I'm not going here. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, you can go to the final right here.
The traffic and
guys.
Come on. No,
it's going to be the same as any Giants or Jets game,
which is horrible.
I've never been to a Giants and Jets game. Why do you think?
I mean, going to be honest, the traffic in L.A. is probably going to be no picnic.
Yeah,
for
it's hard to get SoFi, too.
No, so just different one.
I haven't done SoFi yet. But no, to be honest, I'm thinking more like Vancouver. That's a spot.
Oh, for World Cup?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. That's going to be fire.
That'd be cool.
Oh, Canada.
EJ just never comes back. Like, what happened?
Should I drive to Vancouver from here? Get my driver's license first and then.
Oh, right. You'd have to get a driver's license.
Yeah.
Did you say Bilotti looks like an Olympic guy?
No.
I did.
Oh, you said, yeah.
I can see Bilotti all of a sudden getting really into, I don't know. Like,
I like curling.
Having his own grading system for the gymnastics.
Well, you know what? You add me on the board of the IOC. You get some things done.
You could really clean up that organization.
That's right. That's right. Get all the crap out of there.
You'd be taking bribes in less than a second.
Not a chance. I don't
Please.
Take bribes.
I feel like Bilotti's a man of honor.
I do too.
I believe Pete makes a reference to his paycheck once every third show. So if there's a chance to make some cash,
well, I am a man of honor.
I think he would like to be front row for like a, you know, table tennis final or something. I could see Bilotti having big opinions about minor sports.
I do. I have big opinions about C-list movies, so
exactly.
That makes sense.
Squares.
Yeah.
Thank you. Coming up, we point out who's been lying the last couple days. Someone's out there telling some big whoppers. We're going to tell you who they are next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, now that the NFL draft is over, Perloff, we're getting a lot of those stories our friend Brian Curtis calls, oh, now you tell me, or people trying to spin, oh, we were trying to do this, we were trying to do that. EJ's got a couple, oh, now you tell me's, and we'll determine whether or not these things are true or not. EJ, go ahead.
All right, so let's begin in Las Vegas, where there was a report out that the Vegas Raiders were extremely serious about trying to trade up to two in this draft to get their quarterback, Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Now, do you guys buy that as the truth?
I think that the Raiders should try to tell everybody they tried as hard as they could to get whoever they could because they came out of this draft without a quarterback.
Yeah.
And that was one of the huge, huge needs that the Raiders had in this draft.
Oh, that is a definite true. Because of the Antonio Pierce, the coach of the Raiders, connection with Jaden Daniels, recruited him. Arizona State, that one is 100% true.
But do you get credit for it if that pick was never available? Do you get credit for making a phone call?
Well, I don't know.
If,
like, what is credit?
No go. Like, does the fan base are like, oh, well, I guess they tried and they couldn't get him.
The fan base just cares about wins and losses. I don't think that. Do you really think that it's that important that they tried? You're saying like this stuff is means that much to the fans, that this behind the scenes reports that they tried this or that.
I think they do. See, here's a question for you. We're going to get to our next lie in a moment. But if you are the Raiders, right, and everyone's apparently falling over themselves to try to get Michael Penix. Michael Penix became the person who was like...
After the top three, Penix seemed like the big prize.
The big prize, right? You knew that the Cardinals were open for business. All they said was, we're not going to make the trade till we're on the clock. Yeah. They ended up not making the trade at all. If you were really trying to get up to two, but you would have taken Penix, right? Why not trade with the Cardinals at four if you were really dying for a quarterback in this
draft?
Well,
it seemed like Monty Osford of the Cardinals wanted a huge haul that would really gut the future of the team. So I guess Penix wasn't worth that.
I don't know, but I feel like, you know, what I'm being told today is why the Falcons are so smart is because they spared, they threw all caution to the wind because quarterback is the most important thing, period, full stop. Anyway, let's move on to our next truth or lie.
Okay, so this came from Adam Schefter via the Pat McAfee show, where he said that the Vikings did not offer Justin Jefferson up for the number three pick, where they were trying to get Drake May, which is assumed. The Patriots were determined, apparently, to stay at three. So do you buy that Justin Jefferson was not levied up to the Patriots as a bargaining chip to get to number three?
I first of all, I buy it. Second of all, wait, what? Justin Jefferson was going to be part of this trade? Everyone, did anybody know that? Schefter is saying that like anyone had any idea that I had never heard that rumor. That would have been insane. What's the point of having a quarterback if you don't have Justin Jefferson there?
Or the opposite. What's the point of having Justin Jefferson if you don't have a quarterback to get him the ball? So if the Patriots...
But you knew you could get somebody later. Like, they're talking about trading all the way up to get Drake May. They knew they could get McCarthy. McCarthy to Justin Jefferson makes some sense. Giving up Justin Jefferson and having Drake May throwing to Jordan Addison and whoever, that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe they weren't sure if J.J. McCarthy was going to be there. I have no idea.
Well, they wanted May. That's the target. They definitely...
For the Patriots. If you're saying that they could have taken Jefferson and also gotten a quarterback later, maybe they didn't like any of the quarterback.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, good point. I mean, right, what's the point? The other thing, too, the Patriots would have had to pay Justin Jefferson. It doesn't make sense for them either. You bring up a good point. Why pay Justin Jefferson if you don't have a quarterback?
Well, that's my point.
This trade didn't make any sense anyway.
I don't know if I believe it. I don't. This, like, degree of availability here for Justin Jefferson, I know that he hasn't signed a contract yet. I don't believe he's ever leaving the building. To me, because I think if he wanted a trade, he would have requested one. And he had the perfect opportunity when they didn't re-sign Cousins. What's next?
Okay, so another rumor here. The Commanders apparently never considered Drake May. Reportedly, the choice at two was either the guy they landed with, Jaden Daniels, or J.J. McCarthy. So do you buy this as the truth?
You know, I kind of do. I mean, I don't know about McCarthy. I'm a little less sold on him, but I'm not really high on this whole draft class as a whole compared to a lot of people. Definitely Daniels, and they took him, so I get that. Not being high on Drake May, sure. I mean, you might look at that tape last year and think his footwork's not that great, and, you know, we can poke holes in all these guys. Listen, Bill Belichick, you know, in draft analyst terms, kind of, you know, was a little critical of Drake May. He wasn't totally sold on him as a prospect and, you know, hey, pump the brakes on comparing him to Josh Allen and all that stuff. So I could see it.
Yeah, I believe it too. You know, it's funny though, there was times pretty recently where Drake May became the Vegas favorite number two. Daniel Jeremiah early on, the NFL Network analyst, said that the Commanders really loved Drake May. It's a little confusing that Drake May was the number three quarterback and that they had J.J. McCarthy rated over him. That is definitely a little odd. The whole journey was strange here because I think a lot of people thought Drake May was going to Washington for a long, long time. All year long, the number one and two were Caleb Williams and Drake May. I believe it, but I do think it's surprising that they never even looked at Drake May.
Last one.
Okay, so last one here. According to ESPN, the Vikings are very wary of rushing J.J. McCarthy into the starting lineup. Apparently, they did studies on how exposing QBs early in their careers when they're not ready could be dangerous. So do you buy that J.J. McCarthy will not be rushed to start in Minnesota?
No, I don't buy that at all. And by the way, J.J. McCarthy's played 100 million football games. Like, he's pretty ready. And I was surprised by this headline. I didn't think J.J. McCarthy was a weight guy. I thought that he would get in over Sam Darnold immediately. Maybe there's some secret love for Sam Darnold. So he's played 40 games already at Michigan. He's not Mitchell Trubisky at 1 year. I feel like McCarthy should be ready to go, right? Like, what is J.J. McCarthy? J.J. McCarthy looks like he was born to play this position.
Well, it's not even about McCarthy. This is probably the best situation maybe that any of the quarterbacks went to in the first round. You've got three great receivers and Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and you've got the tight end TJ Hockenson. You've got a franchise left tackle that they have in Christian Darrisaw. You have another good tackle in Brian O'Neill. You've got all the things that you need for quarterback. Is he going to like hit the ground running? No, he might struggle a little bit. He's a rookie, but they're definitely going to rush to start him. If they throw Sam Darnold out there with McCarthy just sitting, that is going to be such a disappointment for the fans, for everybody. You got to play McCarthy.
Yeah, and that being said too, I'm not sure either McCarthy or Darnold's going to win that division. It's so brutal right now. That's another reason maybe that would be a reason to wait. Like, I'm not sure they're winning that division with either player. So Do you guys agree with that idea that quarterbacks need a year? I think that was really interesting.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Is that where we're going back to, where quarterbacks are sitting again?
I know, but that's one thing when it's Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith, who's actually played one playoff games and all that stuff. He's going to sit behind Sam Darnold for what? To learn bad habits? That doesn't make any sense.
You guys hate Sam Darnold.
Hand
so
the ball
much.
Off to Aaron Jones. 855-212-4227. The end came last night for one megastar, I'll tell you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.